The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I did to the 4:30 and 7:45 a.m. Masses, I need to give you on my first weekend Mass a full disclosure. I write down and I print my homily for the sake of time. I don't walk around because I get distracted and it will become extemporaneous and you will leave the church 2 hours later. That's my full disclosure. Author Kerry Burnight tells the story of a retired military officer that we will call Carl. I believe we have some ushers here who are retired military officers. Carl completed his military career during the COVID-19 pandemic. He had served his country faithfully, defending it from invaders, and as he said, spent most of his life saluting someone else or being saluted by someone else. When he retired in his late 70s, Carl realized that the chain of command and respect he received had created a blind spot for him. Without anyone saluting him at home, not even his wife, he has lost his sense of purpose. The freedom of retirement became a burden. He was still physically fit, had good reflexes, and a sharp mind. He decided to do something that served others. So as kids were returning to in-person learning, the superintendent of the school district issued a desperate plea for school bus drivers. He registered for training, received his license, and started driving. He loved every minute of it. He learned each child's name, treated them as if they were someone special, and the children reciprocated. They loved seeing Mr. Carl every day, and Carl found a renewed sense of purpose. Like Carl and his local community, we have learned about the blessings, the pain, and the promise of a word we celebrate this weekend: freedom. We are grateful for those who fought and died to secure our independence, and we recognize that freedom can become a burden. Free time, retirement, and choices tempt us to live according to the flesh, as St. Paul says it in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Jesus tells us today that the only way to be truly free is to surrender to a King who offers peace to our world. Authentic peace, and this King is not earthly. His name is Christ the King. Jesus understood the burdens most people face in his time. He faced a world that did not enjoy the freedom we have today. They were weighed down by their corrupt government, religious rules and interpretations, work responsibilities, and the pressure of finding food day to day. In first century Palestine, you have to look for your food every day. When Jesus issued his great invitation to come to me, he is not promising a pain-free life. He does not invite us into a life of uninhibited pleasure where we can do whatever we want when we want to. As you have known from the song of John Bon Jovi, life is not a bed of roses. Even roses have thorns. Even one parishioner from the 4:30 p.m. Mass noticed my license plate holder. "Father, I like your license plate holder. It says, faith makes things possible, not easy." Even Jesus says, if you have faith a size of the mustard seed, you can tell to that mountain, "Be gone and be transferred to the Pacific Ocean." It will obey you. But if it doesn't obey you, that means our faith is still small or not yet there. And so, the Lord is inviting us to trade the burden of doing what we want for the lighter load of doing what He wants. For instance, in the time of Jesus, there were at least two prominent understandings of the word yoke. The first one is agricultural. Oxen and cattle were often yoked together using large cross beam to guide them as they plowed the field so they can make straight furrows. And where I came from, in my home country in the Philippines, the yoke is made of wood fashioned by the farmer. I came from an agricultural family. My grandfather owned a lot of water buffaloes. And so the farmer has to fashion the yoke of his burden, beast of burden. You cannot buy it from Tractor Supply or Lowe's or Ace Hardware or Home Depot. You have to find a tree with a nice branch that has a shape. You have to fashion it. You have to shave the wood so that the yoke would fit the nape of the animal snugly. So it's personalized. It's not factory made. Another interpretation is people were under the yoke of laws or oppression depending on who ruled at the time. So, for example, the Israelites were under the yoke of the Roman rule, the Roman Empire. Many, many years from that, they were under the yoke of the Egyptian Pharaoh, who enslaved them for 450 years. So both animal and legal yokes had the same effect. They guided people's decisions and gave them direction. People eventually had to yield to the system they were under. And so Jesus invites us to take on a different kind of yoke, one that feels more like a saddle on the family's donkey and less like a weight on our shoulders. Recall the prophet's song from Zechariah chapter 9, which is today's first reading. He shouts that God declares parental rights over the cities that once rejected him. The Lord views Jerusalem the way he views the cities of Tyre, Sidon, Tarshish, or Babylon. Even though they rebelled, God views these cities as daughters who have rejoined the family. Instead of treating us as enemies, God relates to the community where we live as His child. In the Old Testament, God considers Moses, the meekest man on earth, as His friend. He knew God face to face. He was the only one in the Old Testament described talking to God face to face. And when Moses met God on Mount Sinai, he would come down and his face would be glowing because he saw some of the glory of God came to his face. And that's why he would wear the veil to cover his face. The glory of God in Hebrew is called Shekinah. The Shekinah of God. That's why the people could not even, they just approached the foot of the mountain. Because in fear and trembling, because there's peals of thunder and lightning, that's the glory of God sitting on that mountain. And Moses gave Israel the yoke of the law, through which God first revealed himself and how his people were to live. The law is the Ten Commandments, the Torah. Jesus also is meek and humble, But he is more than God's friend. He is the Son who alone knows the Father. The deacon, our deacon Mark says, read it in the Gospel, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone the Son wishes to reveal him." And so Jesus is more than a lawgiver. He presents himself as the yoke of a new law, the new and everlasting covenant. We say that in Mass. "This is my blood of the new and eternal covenant." And Jesus is the revealed wisdom of God. Wisdom in Greek is logos, or word with a capital W. As wisdom, Jesus was present before creation as the firstborn of God, the Father and Lord of heaven and earth. Without the Word, nothing was created. God says all of those He made the creation out of nothing using the Word, and the Word is Jesus. When He says, let there be light, and there was light. And He gives knowledge of holy things of the kingdom of God. In the gracious will of the Father, our Lord Jesus reveals these things only to the childlike. "I thank you, God, of Father of heaven and earth, for you have revealed these things to the childlike, not to the learned." We have to remember, Jesus says, God reveals these things to the childlike, not the childish. And to those who make themselves humble before Him as little children, that you can read in the book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse 17. Those of you who have small children, they are dependent on you, right? Yes, correct. Very good. They cannot prepare their food. You have to give them their food. That's what Jesus says. We need to be dependent to the Heavenly Father like little children. These alone, these childlike people, can recognize and receive Jesus as the just Savior and meek King promised to daughter Zion in today's first reading. We too are called to be childlike in faith in the Father's goodness as sons and daughters of the new kingdom, the Church. We are to live by the Spirit we receive in baptism, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. "Putting to death our old ways of thinking and acting," as St. Paul exhorts us in today's second reading. We are to remove our old self and put on Christ as a garment. Our yoke is to be His new law of love, by which we enter into the rest of His kingdom. You know, the Israelite people in their 40 days in the wilderness rebelled many times to God. And God says in the book of Psalms, 40 years I endured that generation. They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. And I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. We want to enter into God's rest. Let us remember that it is in God alone, who is meek and humble of heart, that we will find authentic and real rest. Amen.
Amen.